This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Emily Bernard has stories to tell. Some are hers. Some are stories passed down by family members. All of them connected a deeply personal way to her sense of being as a Black woman in America. The essays are collected in a new book called Black is the Body, Stories from My Grandmother's Time, My Mother's Time, and Mine. Emily Bernard is a professor of English and Critical Race and Ethnic Studies at the University of Vermont, and she's here in our VPR studios to tell us more about this collection. Emily Bernard, thank you so much for speaking with me again.
Thank you so much for having me, Mitch.
You know, I say again because one of the essays in this book is called Teaching the N-Word, and I first read it many years ago when it appeared as one of the works in a 2004 edition of the Best American Essays. Can you remind us what that essay was about and why it may have even greater urgency now and appears more than a decade later?
The essay was inspired by a classroom situation. I had a class called African-American Autobiography, and I had ten fantastic students. And we had a moment where the word appeared in a book we were reading, and we had to decide as a class how to kind of move past it. I wrote the essay instead of giving a lecture about the word, because I don't think I actually could give a lecture that kind of wants to dictate what people should say and when they should say it. Everyone has to suffer the consequences of what they say. But the word is really mutable. I mean, it sort of begins, of course, as a sign of racial hatred. And there are so many contradictions around it. So I wanted to write a piece that would allow for those contradictions. And that's why I tell it in fragments, because I feel I wanted to give space for the reader, in fact, to experience and insert their own memories and feelings about the word. I don't have a kind of linear thing to say about it and an argument to make about it, but I do have a lot of experience hearing it, listening to it, having it directed at me as an expression of hatred, but also hearing it in music and sometimes hearing it in music that I really enjoy.
Context matters.
It matters all the time.
And then in the introduction to these essays, you speak on a more personal level about what it means to be who you are. And I wonder if you would mind reading a section from that there.
Blackness is an art, not a science. It is a paradox, intangible and visceral, a situation and a story. It is inconsistent, continuously in flux, and yet also a constant condition that I carry in and on my body. It is a condition that encompasses beauty, misery, wonder, and opportunity. In its inherent contradictions, utter mysteries, and bottomlessness as a reservoir of narratives, race is the story of my life, and therefore Black is the body of this book.
And I have to use that as a springboard into the first essay that greets readers in this collection. And it's called Scar Tissue. This deals with an act of random violence that you suffered that really is shocking. You were at Yale University at the time in New Haven. You were one of several people stabbed in a coffee shop. Would you mind giving us a description, even if it's a bit truncated, about what happened to you that day?
Well, August 7th, 1994, I was the victim of a, as you say, random violence. I was sitting in a coffee shop studying for my oral exams, and a man who was mentally ill, very seriously mentally ill, came in and he attacked several people in the coffee shop, and I was one of them. He stabbed me in my gut and he lacerated my liver. I was in critical condition. The surgery was successful, but it was a really traumatic experience that continues to haunt me to this day, in large part because as a result of that initial surgery, I developed adhesions in my bowel, which is, you know, your scar tissue and your intestines get all kind of mixed up. And it's always intensely painful. And as a surgeon explained to me very helpfully, there is nothing you can do to prevent them. And it always reminds me of how little control, you know, we have over our own lives. And that's a real material reminder of, you know, my mortality.
You're right that even though the man who attacked you did not target you because you are Black, you see the stabbing as a kind of metaphor for race relations in this country. How so?
The story took a long time for me to figure out how to write, in part because I had to free myself from other people's expectations of how to write it. My parents also, I remember hearing them talk about, they didn't know I was overhearing them, but they were talking about what happened. And my mother said, my father, she was the only Black person there. My father said he was really stunned by that. And I could tell that from the way they were talking that for them, race was meaningful as a factor in what happened, but it wasn't for me. So that encounter kind of reflects or is connected to a generational dissonance that I'm trying to work out throughout the book. The fact that they saw race work at work in that and that horrible encounter when I didn't. It seemed to be almost metaphorically true throughout my life and the way that my experience raised differently than my parents and my grandparents. And I think for me in the book, the essay comes first as a kind of signal to the reader, this is what I'm prepared to do. This is how much I'm prepared to share, hoping the reader will kind of go with me on that journey and feel and allow themselves to be just as vulnerable as I can make myself in these early pages.
That's an excellent point. The vulnerability that you show, it brings the reader in. It says, okay, this person is showing me something that happened to them that really is devastating that I'm being allowed to see, and it kind of carries you through the rest of it.
Oh, good.
That's how I found it anyway. And you know, there are so many worlds that you navigate in your personal life. You're originally from the South, Tennessee. Many African Americans live there, yet you've chosen to live and work for many years in Vermont. This is one of the whitest places in the country. You're a Black woman. You're married to a white man. So even though these are separate essays, I think they form a kind of connection as a kind of memoir to who you are. So I'm curious then why you wanted to reach back beyond that to tell also stories from your mother's and your grandmother's time as well.
That's interesting. I like that question. As I was writing the book, I was asking myself, you know, what stories belong to me? Which are my own stories? And so most of the stories, I think, the meaningful stories I have to tell about myself involve my ancestors, specifically my mother and her family. I feel very tied to them at the same time that I have chosen a life that's really radically different, as you say, than the lives that they chose. Maybe because I am up here in Vermont, I am so eager to remember where I'm from and tie myself or to understand myself as sort of connected to my mother and my maternal line. As my daughters are now forging their own paths, I watch myself fight the impulse that my parents probably fought themselves. How much of the world do I need to prepare my daughters for? How much do they have to discover on their own? And, you know, I go back to those earlier lessons all the time. So the book, I think, is really trying to grapple with that and building on stories from the past.
It feels like we're at a moment in this country's history, we're talking in 2019, when not just the unresolved issues of racial injustice are boiling up yet again, as they have many times before, but when the injustices that women suffer are also gaining a new and powerful kind of voice. Are you hopeful? Are you more worried about where things are headed for women and people of color in America?
I think that we have no choice but to hope and to be hopeful. For me, you know, writing is a way of practicing a kind of hopefulness. I mean, I'm as worried, as anxious, as fearful of the future as anyone else I talk to. But I think hope is something we have to practice, you know, regardless of what we're feeling. If we're feeling, you know, dispirited and even cynical, we have to insist on it, you know. And I always tell my students in the classroom when they come in and they are feeling cynical, we don't have the luxury of that. James Baldwin says, you know, you can't tell the children there's no hope. And I do have two children, and I have to have them think about the future as something that they can actually contribute to and that they can be the master of their own fates and make changes in the world. So I practice it deliberately every day, and writing is a way that I do that.
Emily Bernard is the author of Black is the Body, Stories from My Grandmother's Time, My Mother's Time, and Mine. She'll be reading from the book January 29th at Phoenix Books in Burlington at 6:30 p.m. Emily Bernard, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you for having me on, Mitch.